Thank you for listening to this episode of 1514. Before we begin today's interview, I want to let you know about an opportunity to partner with us in bringing the world of biblical counseling together. Each year, the BCC hosts a leadership summit where biblical counseling leaders from around the globe gather to build relationships and to unify and strengthen the biblical counseling movement. Some of our guests and council board members are unable to attend due to financial limitations. This strain is especially acute for our international guests. The month of September, we are trying to raise $10,000 to offset the cost of the summit and to provide scholarships for those who might otherwise not be able to attend. You can help us by contributing to this fund or becoming a fundraiser for the cause. You can find out more by visiting our website, biblicalcc.org, or simply text BCC to 71777. Thank you, and enjoy the show. Welcome to 1514, a podcast of the Biblical Counseling Coalition, where we draw from the words of Romans 15:14 to encourage all Christians that they are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to counsel one another. I'm your host and director of the Biblical Counseling Coalition, Curtis Solomon. Welcome back to 1514. For those of you who are watching online, thanks for watching there. Be sure to share those videos and tell other people about them. For those of you who are subscribing to our podcast, thanks for doing that. And be sure to share the word and put out the word on social media that people can listen to what is and find out what's going on in the world of biblical counseling through 1514. Today, I have a guest with me, Kike Torres, who is a pastor at a church in just north of Mexico City. Kike, thanks for joining us.
It's an honor to be here.
So, Kike, could you just introduce us to yourself and your family?
Yeah, of course. I'm Kike Torres, as you say. I'm a pastor here in Querétaro. Querétaro is a city in the center of the country, 2 hours north of Mexico City. And I have been a pastor here like almost 7 years. And my wife is Paulina. She's a beautiful girl that I met in San Diego when I went there to get training for a crusade that we did over here like 10 years ago. And the pastor who trained me told me that, hey, I need to introduce you a girl. She's Mexican, but looks like American. And she's now my wife, and she's blonde. And but she used to live in the city that I live. So that's a really cool link that God made before. And we have a miracle boy, because my wife have endometriosis in a really advanced level. So the doctors in San Diego said that she won't have kids. So we get married with that idea, and after some months, by the grace of God, we get pregnant, and we have a 5, almost 6 years old kid. That is my favorite singer in the world. I love him. And now we are pastoring a church in Querétaro, they call Horizonte, and really, really enjoying God's grace in what God is doing in our city, in our country, as a church and as a biblical counseling movement in Latin America. So basically, that's 10,000 feet overview of us.
That's great. Well, tell us a little bit about the church, but also what are your ministry roles relating to the biblical counseling movement in Mexico?
I'm the senior pastor or lead pastor of the church. And as a church, we embrace, because our friendship with Steve Byers and Faith Church, this idea of when my mentor Luis Mendez invited me to my first biblical counseling conference almost 5 years ago, I listened to Steve Byers. I always say that Luis, my mentor, told me that you need to come with me to a conference. You need to meet a crazy guy like you, and that was Steve Byers. And that was true, because suddenly he starts speaking about things that God has put in my heart before, and put name and last name to this idea of formed in a way in a doctrinal position of the relevance and the importance of the Bible and the verse by verse preaching, Calvary Chapel and this kind of fidelity to the word and the Bible preaching. But I didn't see this other side of ministry, that ministering one by one with the Bible. Mm-hmm. We have the doctrine and the Bible from the pulpit, but not in that like level in a one-on-one ministry. And for me was listening to Steve Byers, like a church who embrace biblical counseling to the, this complement for a complete and like way of do ministry, like from the pulpit and from one-on-one. For me, like that's what we need in Mexico. That's exactly like a biblical counseling movement with this like order and a strategy of really helping a person with a process, not just read your Bible or do your devotion. Really like listen to the people, loving the people, like, you know, put the exact Bible verse to the at the heart level. And that was my beginning in the biblical counseling movement. Like years after that, we start a biblical counseling center in our church. I start like giving biblical counseling for two guys of the church, two men. My mentor like suggests me like, hey, you start with two and develop, like invest 2 years in those guys. And in 2 years, you will have like other two kickers or maybe better that can help you to do that with more people. So we start with that. And one of them is now the executive pastor of the church. And the other is the men's leader, the men's ministry leader. So in that, God started like harvest for himself a really good, like, you know, generation of men that has been impacted by biblical counseling and like talk about it, not in a theory, do biblical counseling because it's good, but that helped me. And God used biblical counseling to talk to my life, and I felt loved and like listened, and my marriage was like redeemed and rescued because one person decided to invest in me and listen to me and don't in a judgmental way, but really like you know, like talking truth in love to the heart. So that's the way that we start. And now we host since last year. This year will be our second year. The National Biblical Counseling Conference that we last year we host 500 people from 50 different churches from all Latin America. This year we expect 1,000, and that was really great because churches that listen or, you know, see podcasts or listen on YouTube about biblical counseling can come and see a church model, not like an academic way of biblical counseling, but a church doing biblical counseling in real life, helping real people and impact their community with the gospel, like talking not just by the pastor, but the pastor equipping the whole body of Christ to talk truth and love to the community and other brothers. So that's has been a really great journey since then.
Yeah, that's fantastic to hear that. One, you're doubling your attendance in 1 year. That's pretty crazy. But also that it is people seeing that this is something that is for the body of Christ to do, not just the pastors, not just some specialists in the organization. That's great. And you said you're getting ready to when we were talking before, you're getting ready to go up to Tijuana and then also to Ensenada to do some pastor training. What besides the national conference, what other things are you involved with in Latin America in biblical counseling?
Like by the grace of God, like because you and Deepak and Steve and my good friends, I now are part of the board of the BCC and represent the Biblical Counseling Coalition in Latin America. We have the Coalición de Consejería Bíblica, that is the Spanish name of the Biblical Counseling Coalition. Our website is consejero.org, that is counselor.org. And we have the goal for doing three like regional conference. This year was Querétaro, TJ, and Medellin, Colombia. And we went to Medellin, Colombia, like a crazy guy like me over there. Actually, that's really cool because he know me about from Twitter. he started following me and like see the church and what God is doing here. The church sent him for a week to like do church with us for a week in every aspect of the church. And he went back to Medellin with this. I learned two things, like the importance of a men's ministry and biblical counseling. So last year he bring like 26 people for the track one, biblical counseling conference. We went this year to Medellin and give a conference for more than 350 Colombians from seven states of the country. And it's crazy because now they are bringing 100 Colombians to Mexico to get trained in our biblical counseling because they knew about, hey, this is what we need here. Like myself, like 5 years ago, now in Colombia, these guys are like, hey, that's exactly what we're praying for. Like equipping not the pastor, but the whole body of Christ to truth, truly like in love, a truth, like give truth in love and help people with the gospel, not therapy, not a psychology, like really like disciples making disciples in Latin America. So it has been a crazy journey and we are really encouraged to see what God will be doing in this year and the next one.
Praise the Lord. That is really exciting to hear 100 people from Colombia. That is going to be...
And it's funny because, you know, in the drug dealer business, we both are the most like important countries in Latin America. And now we are like getting busy in biblical counseling. For me, it's funny because when we travel, we make fun like, hey, where do you come? Like Medellin and Mexico, and then you'll go to the States. That will be a weird experience for us.
You guys are going to be, you're just hopefully going to be distribution centers for something other.
Yeah, than that's God's grace.
Yes, absolutely. Well, praise the Lord for that. That's really cool. If you travel together, though, you might get stopped at the border.
Probably.
You know? So let me ask you this. As you guys are doing some great things, I want to ask a little bit about the cultural differences. But we talked beforehand, and my background, I know there's a large Hispanic culture in the United States. And for those of us who are here, what are some tips maybe you would give to somebody in our culture who is ministering to and doing biblical counseling with somebody who is from Mexico or Colombia, somewhere in Latin America? What how would you advise? What are some tips you'd give to us?
That's a really good question because as I told you, we really need to like humble ourselves and recognize that not all people are the same, like in the way that we can approach to them. The American people are like really, and I really enjoy that, like really like goal-oriented, like result-oriented, like direct, like and the Hispanic people, we are more like relationship-oriented. So in a way for a really reach and like do the Great Commission of reaching the nations that you're in the state that the nations are coming to the States and living with you. Guys, the reality is to understand that the Hispanic or Latin people are more like relational or oriented, and they won't listen to you not only after they see how you can love them and listen to them and really care of them. So that will be, I think that's the main challenge of the of a really blessed nation as United States, like that the nations are coming to the States and living with you guys to know that these people, if you can do mercy ministries, you can do like, you know, helping the poor guys or helping the Hispanic communities, but to really reach them with the gospel, you need to like love them first and listen to them first and really like take care of them and understand, for example, in biblical counseling movement, it's a funny stuff because, for example, one of my teachers in faith is Randy Patton, and he's a really great guy, really like ordering guy, like super, like in this way, like really good. But I listened for, I think what's my second year, like if you spend more than an hour in a biblical counseling session, you are doing the wrong way. And for me, it was like, dude, you can say that in Mexico, because after an hour in Mexico, they are at his high school level of testimony, giving you like, hey, you know, my mother and my father and my grandpa and my like, and they're what we, most of the Hispanic people like feel of being listened and like, and you like mostly like 8 of 10 situations, you will spend like the first 2 sessions of an hour and a half just listen and making questions and just taking notes of the problem, even to start like for the with the gospel and a process and a plan and that way you will earn the trust and the confidence of them to start talking to you in the real level, in the real problem, at the heart level. So that's a difference between the American and the Hispanic, that you will be more need to be more patient and like you know, in this way, for knowing that we grow with soap operas and, you know, telenovelas and the average Hispanic guy is like almost a drama queen. So you need to listen and like 90% of what they will tell you doesn't work for the counseling process, but now you can get after 1-2 sessions, like the key points of their heart that you can like connect the gospel with. So I think that's the main difference that you guys need to understand, like how us feel loved by you guys in a way that we can know that you love us by you be there and listen and really tell us that you are a commitment to walk with us and help us, and wherever that we can say it doesn't make you leave, or, you know, this kind of.
So do you think maybe one of the practical ways that might flesh out is involvement outside of the counseling room, like having people in your home? A lot of cultures, sharing food, breaking bread is really an important aspect of the relationship building process. And I think, is that maybe an idea? Because for Americans, I think they will come to a counselor if you have a degree or you have a certificate because you're an expert. And I'm going to open up and share with you in this confident, quiet office where nobody else can hear because you're smart and you have something to give to me. In an hour a week, it's just kind of programmed into our culture and understanding that. But maybe for Hispanic culture, what are some other ways that we could develop that relationship in addition to stretching out maybe the time and not being so stuck to a clock? What are some other ways that we can develop that relationship?
Actually, that's a really great question, because you are right when you say that the American come to a consulate because you are an expert, and the Hispanic come to a consulate because you are a friend and you can help, and you are like, you will become almost like a partner in crime and a family. And that's the way that you earn the trust of the people, that they come because they know that they will be loved in your office or your house or your church, and listen, and really they don't listen what they want to listen, but what they need to listen. And that's the way that a true friendship developed in Latin America in a biblical counseling like mood or process, because they don't come to see an expert. They come to see a brother in Christ and a friend and a guy who really want to love me in Christ. So that's a really good difference to make.
That's really helpful and hopefully really fun too, to build relationships that way. What are some maybe cultural challenges that you all face in your culture in to biblical counseling?
I think the main are like two. The first one is for example, in Colombia. In Colombia, if you talk about biblical counseling in the general like way, even the pastors and the Christian like circles understand like therapy or psychology, because they suffer a lot of this, you know, psychologization of the Bible. And the pastor, when he receives a problem and he doesn't know how to do, they refer to a psychology or a, you know, an expert. And that's sad because a lot of people like lose the opportunity to know about biblical counseling because they have this background. And they say, no, I tried therapy. I tried Christian therapy because that's the way that they used to sell it. I know a Christian psychology that can help you. And that's therapy and psychology with a Christian guy, but he like do the process in a psychology way, not in a like pastoral, like brother to brother, you know, this mutual ministry kind of way. So that's most in Colombia, one of the main issues to enter the biblical counseling, like the real biblical counseling, like using the Bible to minister the person, you know, kind of challenge that we have over there. In Mexico, I don't think that's the main challenge. The main challenge is that people doesn't know anything about biblical counseling, and that's a good stuff. Yeah. Because you can do there has been an effort like here or there, but not a really like main like national effort to explain what we do. So the main challenge is that if you talk about biblical counseling, they're like, what's that? Mm. And you need to start like introducing the principles of hey, it's a God's way to fulfill the Great Commission in a ordering and a really good plan, equipping the body of Christ to talk truth in love to their community and the church. And they're like, okay, I'm interested in that. And the cool stuff here is that it's not only the church, the church leader, the pastor, is the church people that are like, hey, I want to be equipped on that for myself and then to help others. So I just talked to a couple this Sunday after church, and they are receiving a counseling for another couple of church. And they say, hey, you know, we are thinking about getting equipped on this to help our marriages. So that's a good, the challenge in Mexico is that the people doesn't understand even what it is. So that's a good opportunity for us.
Yeah, it's kind of nice to have a blank slate in a sense, so that people don't have misperceptions or misunderstandings of what we're doing. Do you think that the term, so your the website in Mexico's consejero, right, meaning counselor, is that word a hindrance to people in the Hispanic culture, or are they fine with that idea?
Actually, I think it's their fun. The cool stuff in Mexico, and I think Latin America, is that I think that we are in a pre-revival season from God. So actually, people are tired of trying our stuff, like religion, like therapy, you know, metaphysic, energy. You know, in Mexicans, we are like, you know, a people that is Catholic, but he has an accessory for the bad eye, or the, you know, the curse of the eye for protection. Yeah. Or, and they believe in Feng Shui, and they talk about his zodiac symbol. And that's an average Mexican, like, okay, religious in one way, but really mystic in other way. So I think God is raising a generation like is really tired of that. Mm. So when we talk about like advice and we use the magic word for Latin people that it's free, they are like really open to really be involved in and listen to it. So for example, we have in the general hospital in our city, we are seeing an increasing number of people trying to kill themselves in a suicidal like mood. Mm-hmm. And one of the sisters of the church is a lady in charge of the one of the areas of the church of the hospital, and she bring for with her to their job like cards for the biblical counseling center that are say that there's hope if you are depressed, you are like, you know, trouble in your marriage, family, wherever, addiction, there's help. there's hope, call us for a free advice. And it has really, really interesting to see. And people enter to the website because we design a live chat in the website that the people doesn't need to call us at first. They can chat with the people in the Village Counseling Center. She received a message in the WhatsApp. And they're like, and it's really interesting, the person that just write, I'm going to kill myself, I need help. And then we tell, hey, we are here, what's wrong? After some messages, we address a meeting. And then after two sessions, because we are trained as with faith, and we know that the people need the church. So after two sessions, one of the homeworks is to go to one service, the midweek service of Sunday service, and bring three notes that what would you understand of the service. And that has been a really cool, you know, evangelistic way to do a ministry here too. So the people are really open to the idea now.
That's really great. Yeah. To have that connection with the church and then to be using the technology of even live chatting, to get people, because people are willing to share that they're willing to kill themselves with kind of an anonymous face, you know, or not face, but somebody who's just there. That's pretty incredible. Is there any, hesitancy or pushback from the state or other organizations against that kind of thing? Because in the U.S., I just imagine if somebody took cards like that to a church, there would be a lawsuit. You know, somebody would sue that hospital for having something like that. Do you guys have any issues like that?
No, actually, the authorities are really aware of what the society is going to. So they can make maybe the speech of, you know, not doing that. But in the real life, they are like, in our city, for example, they're asking the church for help in a lot of ways. We have, for example, we are in the city that we are the first place in Mexico of single moms, and first place in Mexico in alcoholism in ladies, in women. So that will become as a security issue for the city. So the in that level of urgency and at the hospital, they're desperate, and they receive like girls or ladies, or like it's their fifth attempt of suicidal. Wow. So wherever you can do for them, do it. And then we appear in the scene, and we like till now. I know the states is different, but till now, because we are in this, in a different season, because you have like some revival season in the States, and now the tendency is different than in Latin America, that we aren't even have a revival in our history. We have just like some little fires over there, but the cities and for example, the schools are calling pastors for teaching, like, hey, what do you teach? For example, I was invited for the like most expensive university in the city to like a panel with the religion panel, and I was a pastor, and they are really like desperate, like, hey, what do you see of the world? And it's really cool because we are in a postmodern world that you can believe in whatever you want and you can call God wherever you want. And the people are really like, I never heard that before.
Wow.
Or in the worst scenario is like, hey, I'm not a Christian, but are you like the crazy Christian in the TV, you know, that kind of stuff. And you are like, no, that's our weird cousins, but we are not like that. Maybe you can come and see. So that's like kind of the way that we are doing things over here.
come over, visit us, and we can talk about our crazy cousin, but that's not who we are. Wow, that's good. Well, brother, it's really exciting to talk to you. What are some ways, and it's exciting to hear what's going on in Mexico and Latin America, not just in biblical counseling, but really in the gospel going forward, and but seeing that the power of life change put forward there, that's amazing. What are some ways that we can be praying for you, your church, the biblical counseling movement in Latin America?
Thanks for asking. I think if you can pray, I know the battle that is on against this, because someone isn't happy of people being rescued of darkness and coming to light in Christ. So there's a really battle against unity in the churches. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of church splitting and a lot of political kind of environment in the church, this kind of pastors aggregation, but it's more like a face for the government, nor for the unity of the body of Christ and reach the city. So this, because we're in Mexico and Latin America, we are like drama queen in all levels. So we love drama and complain. And I always say that the Hispanic people has some root in the Jews people, because we are complain of everything, and we are like almost dramatic in everything. And so if you can pray about the wisdom of James 3 for us, this wisdom of the high, that is like love, peace, like kind, like is willing to give up and feel of good fruits, this kind of wisdom, I think, is my main prayer request in my marriage, because I marry a beautiful lady that looks American, but it's Mexican, but looks like American, but she's Mexican, so she loves the all the feeling and I'm like, that's why I love like the American way of doing stuff, because I'm more like, hey, it's not about that feeling. It's what you know. And I need that wisdom in my home, in my church, and in my city and in my country. So I'm for more open doors. God has given us really a lot of grace. We have, as I told you, like 100 people from Colombia coming. We expect a lot of people from all over Mexico for our next conference. And it's funny, because I choose those day of the conference, that it's November 2nd to 7, because November 2nd in Mexico is the death day, the day that Mexico celebrate the dead.
Día de los Muertos.
Día de los Muertos, right. You're almost Mexican. So I choose those days because I know those days there's a really war in a spiritual level here. Yeah. And I love to push ourselves to do activities and events that promote the light of Christ in days that the people celebrate death. We preach life and preach how to the body of Christ can equip themselves to bring life in real life to their communities and their churches, not just the pastor, because the cool stuff with us by God's grace is not me. I do 3 counseling sessions in a week. But I has been really blessed by, I think that now we're 45, 46 counselors that were trained with Faith and with the Track conference. And when someone in the church come to me that, hey, the class, hey, pastor, I need to talk to you. I said, hey, I train people, like there are 45 people training the same way that they will tell you what I will tell you. So why you don't go to a biblical counseling center and talk to them? And they are like getting this idea that we are not a pastor-centered church. Mm. We are a Bible-centered church, that every leader and every volunteer and every person in the biblical counseling center are equipped the same as the pastor to minister the truth that you need in your problem. So if you can pray about it, that that we can take advantage of that race and God extend that bridge in more areas and open doors and really give us the wisdom to taking care of our family first. Because in Latin America, there's a lot of pastors and ministers that really, you know, disqualify because moral issues or whatever. And I really fear the Lord on that because I'm a young pastor. I'm 35 years old, so I know nothing. And the reality of what you can see in Horizonte, the church, is you need to see God's race because it's not logic what God is doing with us. With the senior pastor, 35 years old, and God doing all this stuff. So I really want this fear of the Lord of Proverbs 1:7 of to choose Him. My mentor like teach me about this principle of that John Piper teach him about the 20-80, that the 20% of your private devotion will sustain the 80% of your private devotion or time with God would sustain the 20% of the public ministry. So if you don't have that 80% like really consolidated, the 20% will fall. And if you have the 20% wanting to sustain the ministry, the public ministry in the 80% trying to sustain the private ministry, you will be like fall and you will be really broke. So if you can pray for me that, like really God giving me this hungry and like longing in my heart for them, for Him, for His presence in the private. So as I told you, I started the MA with Southeastern. So I have like more stuff to do and more books to read. So I really want that, like not forget where God took me from and what He called me. And the first, I just preached in Mexico City last Saturday, and I preached that the first calling of the ministry is to Christ. And the moment that you lose that, you will be tired and you will be exhausted in a bad way and you will be complaining and you will be comparing yourself with other ministries. And like we need to remember in Mark, the first call, even before that you will send it to preach, it's to be with Him in the private, and that's a thing that I really don't want to lose sight.
Yeah, praise the Lord, brother. That's a good word for all of us, and we'll definitely be lifting you up in prayer in those ways.
Thanks.
We have I'm going to take 2 more minutes of your time for a segment I call 2 minute favorites. So this podcast will be a little bit long, but brother, it's been good. Are you ready for 2 minute favorites?
Yeah, ready.
All right. So here we go. What is your favorite food?
That's obvious, Mexican and and Italian. That will be my favorite food. But the Mexican from Mexico, not the you guys as Mexican. That's not Mexican. I want this opportunity to preach the truth to the all American people that the Mexican food they have, not Mexican at all.
All right. What's your favorite word?
My favorite word is, I think... Now I'm have this super, hey, is that super? Like, hey, super, like, and that I really enjoy it. I'm in this kind of, because I'm a complaining person because I'm Latin. I'm like pushing myself to be this guy. Like Gary Smiley teach about, you know, they find the diamond in the pipe of poop to really look after seeing grace in a not really good situation. So, hey, that's super, like, that's great. So that's, I think that's a word that I have this season.
All right. What's your least favorite word?
We have this in Spanish, that es que, like, is the quote that we give just before an excuse. So when someone starts like, you know, es que, like, it's like, but you know what? Like the reason why I don't do the things that I need to do, that's like, dude, don't go there. So that's a word that I don't like.
All right. What's your favorite color?
Blue, I think.
Okay. What's your favorite sport?
Obviously soccer, and then football, American football. I'm a cowboy fan, but because we suffer like a lot for several years, I now becoming a Patriot fan because they have been giving me so much joy in this last season. So I'm a cowboy Patriot fan, so whatever that means.
All right. What is your last question? What, if you could pick one superpower, what superpower would you choose?
I choose adamantium, like Wolverine. and actually, it'd be funny because when God saved me, I was seeing Wolverine, the Origins, I think. And there's a quote of me in the movie that said that we will make you indestructible, but first we need to destroy you. And that was in that time, as I know, like a Holy Spirit talking to me, like that. Yeah, and that was God. Made me like he for a three, like 1 to 3 years, like really broke me and made myself again. And I really that like that power of being like push and like and then like indestructible.
All right, Kike, that's been a real pleasure to talk to you, brother. If God can speak through a donkey, he can speak through a Wolverine, I guess. So there you go. All right, brother. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
No, thank you, Curtis, and thanks to all your audience.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of 1514. If you'd like to know more about the Biblical Counseling Coalition, please visit our website at biblicalcc.org. You can also follow us on Twitter at biblicalcc or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Biblical Counseling Coalition. Thanks again for listening.